thank you all for being here, and let's start right off with the Pledge of Allegiance. If you would stand, please, and honor my tiny little flag here. Tiny but mighty.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you all for being here.
Rebecca.
For those of you who don't know me, my name is Laura DeMattis, and I'm representing the Republican Women Freedom Alliance here in Johnson County. And welcome. This is a great turnout. I apologize for the small quarters. The other room wasn't available at the time, so here we are. Intimate as always. We do have a sign-up sheet in the back. It wasn't out when some of you were here early. If you would like to sign up and give us some contact information, I promise I won't send out anything but our meeting notices and events that we may be sponsoring. So you won't get a bunch of emails from the Republican Women's Group, I promise. I want to welcome some of the Republican women from Sheridan County and some of our other people from Sheridan County in the group. Please raise your hand. Thank you all so much for being here and supporting us. We appreciate you making the trip. And some of our elected officials and representatives, thank you all for being here as well. It's very exciting. In an effort to make this meeting as short as possible, we're going to suspend some of our typical protocol here with our meetings, with our minutes and approval and agendas and treasury report and all that. We're going to get right to the meat of the matter because Frank's here, and I'm sure this is going to be an interesting evening, and he'll be taking questions at the end of the evening. And so if you are interested, I will say that we are looking for membership in the Republican Women's Group here. And if you'd like to join us and be very active in the community and be very active in the political scene, we would welcome you to our group. And if you'd like to make a donation to the group, we would also accept that as well. We're a nonprofit, so we're always pushing for that money like everybody else. We do have a couple of events coming up this summer that we're looking at. And our next meeting, I want to talk about that right now, is going to be July 12th. And Tom Kelly will be here. And if you don't know, Tom Kelly ran for the state superintendent over schools this last election. And he has got some very, very intriguing information. I've got these two pieces of paper back on the back table because he just confirmed a couple days ago. I haven't had time to put a poster together. But I'm just going to read what he wrote to me to promote his speech or his presentation here next month. The culture wars have made their way into Wyoming. Join us for a discussion on how radical ideology made its way into the schools of the most Republican state in the country. Dr. Kelly will explain how progressives introduce incrementally circulate curriculum that underlines basic American values of liberty, individualism, and free speech, and substitute neo-Marxist ideas of power structures, institutional racism, and collectivism. And I know that Tom has spoken all over the state at several different meetings, and his information is so provocative. You must be here, and especially if you have children in schools. This is something that should be on a top priority of every parent and every person actually in the nation. But at least maybe we can get Wyoming under control. So next, July 12th, 5:30 here in the library, I will have the big room, hopefully, that time. So that's my announcement for that. One other thing, as a Republican woman, one of our programs and pushes this summer is going to be voter registration. We are going to do a voter registration guide. Voter registration drive, excuse me. And the reason we're doing this is because I found out some startling statistics last year. And of the eligible voters in the state of Wyoming, only 40% plus a few are actually registered to vote. Just a little over 40%. And of that 40% that's registered to vote, only about 40% of those people actually vote. And I've asked several people about this over the last few months, and the general theme I've heard over the past few months has been that, well, we're a Republican state. We're red. Yeah. Our legislators vote with the Republicans. They all got ours by their name. I don't need to vote. We've been Republican forever. We are no longer in that position, people. We are losing Wyoming. I say we're a red state with a blue undercoat. And if we don't get active and we don't inform people and we don't educate these people of what's going on, that you can't just assume we're going to remain Republican. We've got to get out and do something. So that's going to be, thank you, that's going to be our push for the next 6-8 months is voter registration. And we're going to be doing registration tables wherever we can at events in Johnson County. And if you would like to help us do that in maybe a couple hours on a Saturday afternoon, or a couple hours maybe sitting at a rodeo event and meeting people and talking to people, we would be more than happy to welcome you to our group to help us just volunteer a couple hours to get people to register to vote. So that's my call to action. Yes, ma'am?
As a corollary to that, how are efforts going with voter integrity?
I'll let Frank address that.
So
that's our big push. We're going to have meetings of July. We're going to skip August. We'll be coming back in September. We'll be doing a fundraiser sometime in the fall. And if you would like any information on our group, please see Hope at the back table. And I think I will now relinquish this floor to Frank Ethor.
Well, good evening, Johnson County and Sheridan County. Anybody from out of those two counties here tonight? Yeah? You're not, you're neither?
No, I'm out of.
Yeah? Okay, well, it looks like it's pretty much locals. I recognize a lot of faces, and right off the bat, I see two Central Committee members. Does everybody know what the State Central Committee is and who it consists of?
Yeah.
We've got Sheridan County, State Committee Woman, Carla Kloppenstein from Sheridan. And Mrs. Crago here from Johnson County, new committee woman, correct? All right. And from Bill Novotny. Now, I don't, there might be other elected officials I don't know, but as far as the ones that I recognize right off the bat, that's who I see. Am I missing anybody? Oh, your committee man from Johnson County, Nathan Williams. KC. All right. Anybody else? Well, we got Representative Ken Pendergraft. But you know who is important here, and this is who I work for, and this is who I am sworn an oath to uphold and represent. And that's you. That's the grassroots. That's who I work for. That's who I answer to. I don't have any intentions of changing. This is my third term as state chairman, and I believe that's what Wyoming wants, so that's what I'm committed to doing. Thank you for being here tonight. Thank you, each one of you, for what you do as far as working for Republican principles. We have a platform that unifies us, and I hope all of you are familiar with the platform. If not, go on state website. I'll mention that website a few times tonight. And please be familiar with it. I think that's why what we're all driven by. I know that's what unifies us, and it is the unchanging over years and years in the state party, those timeless principles. We can call them constitutional principles. We can call them founding fathers principles. They're enshrined in and provide for our very rights. They're guaranteed through the Constitution. So I'm a native of Wyoming. Who has been to Bill, Wyoming? Okay, great. Bill's been to Bill, Wyoming. Who has not been there but knows where it's at? Okay, then you probably know it's got more sagebrush than people, and it's got more sheep than people, and that's okay. I'm happy with that. It is very rural. Of course, right now it's pretty hard to recognize with all the energy influx between railroad, wind turbines, oil and gas production. It's almost unrecognizable, so it's no longer the untouched prairie. But those are all necessary development. I mean, if we turn off the switch, then I guess we wouldn't need these things, right? All right, so I want to jump right in with the time we have, because the room is it shrunk with the volume. That's great to see the turnout. And I believe in brevity. So if I get too brief or skip over things, raise your hand. We don't necessarily have to talk about these, but I do want to at least cover the process and how these were passed. And then we can talk about the nuts and bolts of each of these as long as you'd like. And then sure take questions after that. Can everybody hear me okay?
Yeah.
Very good. Very good. Okay, so the State Central Committee, we've got 23 counties in Wyoming, 3 elected representatives from each county. That's your county chairman, your county state committee man, and committee woman. So there are 74 voting members. And then we are structured just like your counties. Think of your central committee members as your county central committee. And then they elect executive officers. And those executive officers are only in charge of a certain amount of business. Who's the boss? The central committee. But actually, they have a boss, too. Who knows who their boss is?
The voters.
The voters, and namely, according to our bylaws, the state convention delegates. That's why every 2 years when we have a state convention, that delegation process, those decisions that come out of state convention, are ultimately responsible and important to the direction of the state party. And I can tell you without any reservation that the entire executive committee, and for certainly a majority of the central committee, are committed to what those delegates say. This is your job for the next 2 years. This is what we want you to do. Hence, that's where this comes from. It's very important that the state party not only get Republicans elected and stay engaged with those elected representatives, but that we communicate to them the will of the grassroots. And so a few years ago in Sheridan at the central committee meeting, probably 5 years ago, it was brought to my attention that we need to have a formal tool to express what we think are the priorities in this state that come from the counties, are boiled down into simple language. Let's start with five. Well, it's kind of like a platform. We want to boil down the platform to one page. We only have 22 planks of the platform. This group from 5 to 7. But basically, through any form, whether it be resolutions or just statements from the county parties, these issues were moved, and I think at one time we had probably 15 potential issues that we wanted to be legislative priorities. And through debate, through the process, and then motion, voting, we boiled them down to 5 and then grew to 7 since that time. So that's the process. It was voted on by a majority of the state central committee. So a majority of the 74 voting members passed this. And then we do this every year to communicate to our legislative group, whether it's budget year or non-budget year, that this is what we want to see. That we want to see bills forwarded with these issues as label and subject matter in the bill. Any questions on the process? How are we out here? Yes?
You mean you're indicating to the elected officials who go to the legislature which things you want them to push?
Yes. Okay. Yes. And so how we do that is it's emailed. I'll have phone conversations. There was a time when there was what was called a joint caucus between the Senate and the House, and the top five were elected. Top five elected statewide were invited to speak, and then the state chairman and the state executive director. Now, since then, those rules have changed through the legislature. We no longer have a joint caucus. At least the bylaws have changed where the top five elected are no longer invited, neither is the state chairman. So we'll see if they change that back. So the methods that we use at that joint caucus is when that was primarily communicated, right at the beginning of session. Since then, it's been through emails, phone calls, and meetings with leadership. Last time I met with the Senate president and Senate Majority Leader and a couple other members that were interested. So, first on the list, how many of you are interested or engaged with election integrity? Right? And nationally, we know this is a big issue. And in Wyoming, we don't want to be asleep at the wheel either. So there are several subcategories under election integrity. And I don't even know where you want to go. We could spend a few days on integrity. So in order to avoid that, let's make sure and hit the hot spots. And what I like to do is just say, what do you think are the major subcategories under any of these topics? For now, election integrity. See a hand up.
I think that something tops everything else, and that's that we need to the party to make a huge push and a real demand for paper ballots counted by hand, period, in the precincts.
Because we know technology is great, right? It's convenient, it's speedy, but the other side of that coin is it transparent? Yeah. And too many of us know better that it's not. I served on the Republican National Committee Election Integrity Committee, and we had five subcommittees, and an area that I'm probably least knowledgeable on, but I wanted to get educated, and I wanted to take part and use my own investigation, was technology. We looked into the voting machines, and we need to probably address what we have and what we don't have in Wyoming as far as the digital form of voting. And the manipulatability, the accessibility remotely, we've seen what happened in states like Georgia, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Nevada,
Arizona,
right? I've got friends that were attorneys in Arizona, talked to the Trump campaign. The movies have come out. There's plenty to be concerned with. But one thing that boils down to is what this fine person right here just said, is that if we don't have paper ballots that are accessible to be audited, then we can't have 100% faith in the system.
That's right. Right.
And this isn't an idea that just came from Johnson County, Wyoming, or some other part of the country. It was uniformly brought up in the Election Integrity Committee. One of the strongest proponents of what you just said was our National Committee woman from Louisiana. And they've got serious problems down there in the New Orleans area. And she said the only solution to this is paper ballots, auditable.
Yep.
That's the only way we're gonna fix this problem. And so, you know, that we're so far away from that with all this technology now. I don't know how we get back. But we, the grassroots, are supposed to be in charge. We are we, the people. Mm-hmm. So I think it's up to us to demand it and make it happen.
Frank, how long ago was it when they went away from the precinct counting? And the technology, because at one point in time, all of the ballots were counted at the precinct level, and that was reported up.
That's a great question.
You know, was like 2 decades ago? It hasn't been 50 years. I mean, it's been 10, 15 years?
Maybe somebody knows. I don't know, and it's a lingering question. I don't know who can take us back that far, but I do know that I spent a couple of hours with former Secretary of State saying, what is our process? What's the chain of command? How does this work? What do the machines do? Who owns them? What's the contract look like? And it was pages and pages and pages that I submitted to the RNC subcommittee. And it's there's one thing out of that I do want to say is that some counties still use paper ballots, but here's the deal. We have tabulation machines. If there's any county clerk experience or county clerks in here, please correct me, but ES&S is who we have the contract with. They used to be owned by, what's that?
Dominion.
Yep. And so we think they're just basically a subsidiary, a spinoff. Thank you. We have tabulation machines. In some states, you go up and you vote electronically. There's no paper involved. Everything's digital. But in Wyoming, we have a paper ballot. You mark the paper ballot, you feed it into the tabulator. The tabulator goes into, how many of you have been election judges? You know this better than me. So then it goes onto a memory stick, correct? And then that gets turned into the county clerk, and then all the votes are counted from that point. That's roughly, and usually the sheriff's office is the one out either at the polling place, especially if they're remote, that are in charge of taking the tabulators out and bringing all the equipment back to the county clerk, the government seat. So that's basically the process. But when folks say Wyoming has voting machines and they're Dominion owned, neither of those two things are correct. So we got to focus on real facts so we can correctly identify what the problem is. I'm not saying that presumptively. Some counties are, I'd say, without question. Other counties, we've got county parties that say we can't get information. We request it. Should be simple. Should be public record.
And also to observe the count.
Pardon? To observe the count. Right. Right.
Sure, the county doesn't not allow it.
Right. So under call to action, here's a great action point. Many of you have been judges. How many of you have been poll watchers? Very good. We need to grow that number. And, of course, that is, there are strict rules with poll watching. It's not poll activism, it's poll watching. How many of you know Marty Halverson? You know that you can contact, if you don't have her number, ask somebody who does, go through the state party office. Here's Grand Central Station, I say this all the time, www.wyoming.gop. You can find everything you need to there, contact information, phone numbers, emails. Our state party office is at 1714 Capitol in Cheyenne, Wyoming. You're always welcome to stop by there. Generally open during business hours. How many of you met Kathy Russell, our executive director? She's been on about 5 years. She knows her business, works well with everyone. So there should never be a drop ball as far as communications, volunteers, education, etc. through that. Marty Halverson will again serve as our election integrity co-chairman. We have another co-chairman out of Albany County. And those two are experienced now. They understand all the rules. They understand how to do the training. And they just need people to sign up. And together, that team will take it from there so that we can have more and more increased confidence in our election matters.
Are there any counties, Frank, that are auditing the vote counting machines with a count of the paper ballots?
The only form that I'm aware of that takes place is the pre... What do they do before they put them out? Just prior to the election, they have a process.
I'm going to talk about after the election.
After the election?
Okay, we got 4,800 votes.
I could just tell you this. I know a county chairman. This is something I referred to just a minute ago. County chairman asking their county clerk, hey, can we see a validation of this vote count?
Yep. Nope.
I don't know of a single instance where that's been honored. Now, it may have since then, and I haven't been advised. So I will leave that caveat. Yes?
One of the things we need to do to make sure that the paper ballot integrity is sealed and kept for at least 2 years, so that it can be audited within that time. There's a move by some of the county clerks to drop the amount of time that those ballots are held.
So chain of command, chain of custody, right? Just like evidence in a police locker, just like your taxes. How many years of taxes do you have to keep on hand in case you get out?
But if the legislature changes that, it's going to knock us out. So we need to be aware that push is there.
Yeah. So what would be the justification for that? Why would that be necessary to purge records?
Storage room.
Storage room? Well, be aware. May need another county building. Yeah.
For the record, I have a photograph of the inside of the DSNS machine. Mm-hmm. It has in it, on the motherboard, I forget what you call these, a little electronic thing, a round thing with a thing sticking out of it. And it is a cell phone type of... I forget what the word is.
I think the word is modem.
It connects up to the internet, okay? Mm-hmm. Modem, yeah, mm-hmm. It's a modem. It is an absolute modem.
Yeah. So I sat down with my county clerk in 2020, and I asked two basic questions. And I didn't get very clear answers except for, do the machines have modems? No. Are they internet connectable?
Yes.
Yes. Did not get a clear no. And so to me, that's a resounding yes until, because those things are, I'm sure they're built to some specification. What specification is that? Why can't we know about it? I want to see the inside of the machine. I'm glad you got a picture of one.
Yeah, and I got it out of the Gateway Pundit website.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way,
That's right. There's other folks in my county that were former state committee men and women, and they pressed even further. They insisted and demanded, got nowhere with our county clerk. So there's resistance, and I guess the question that remains unanswered is, if there's nothing to worry about, why would you be transparent to us?
Exactly right.
If there's nothing to hide, nothing to prove. To me, just erase all doubt. Just show it. Yes, ma'am.
Well, and the coding also. I mean, we can't see the coding, how these things are programmed. Mm-hmm. What they're actually doing, how are they counting? Is it by more than one, 1.25, and reprogram it?
Okay. Now, that gets into a topic when you're talking deep tech. I was talking to some folks on the national scene, some of these states where they do have voting machines, and the technology is highly, highly capable. And I talked to an IT tech in Wyoming that he is not able to operate at this level, but he said only a few people in the world can operate at the level what these Dominion machines are capable of. And so, who's running the show? Only those that have that knowledge and that capability. So, follow up?
I don't want to beat a dead horse, but also, if they're hooked up to the internet, they could be altered live. Yes.
So I think that's an inarguable fact. The capability is there. Yeah.
Because we have a new Secretary of State.
Yes.
It makes it a lot easier to get a lot more headway with the clerks and the election integrity issues.
Yes and no. The yes to that is I think Secretary Gray will move to the extent that he's able to, but we have to remember, and this is something we talk about all the time in the state party, we're not top down. I don't go around to the county chairman and say, you must. Now, if it's a hard and fast rule that we've already agreed upon ahead of time, it's in writing, that's another issue. And if it's a bylaw, that's also pretty much cut and dry. But when it comes to those areas of discretion, I at all costs avoid telling county leaders what and how to do their business. Not my job. That's a grassroots thing, and so is it with the county clerk. It's kind of like your county sheriff. They, you know, they have supreme law enforcement authority in that county. And it's okay to question them, I suppose, but that does not give any other agencies the right to come in and say, hey, Sheriff, you need to do it this way. So we operate that way. That's why it needs to be a grassroots up to the county clerk to try and rectify any questions and situations. Ken?
Regarding Secretary Gray, spent several evenings along with several other representatives late in the evening in his office working on a number of these bills. We ran a barrage, Tony Locke, myself, some others. You're going to hear me say this again, 2636. We got to change some seats. We have to change some seats. These bills are being advanced. They're being put out on the House floor. That last one down to the Ottawa Department relationship, I'll tell you about that one. We have work to do.
All right. Anything else? So we can come back to these topics. We don't have to close the door on them permanently tonight. Ma'am?
Who are the county clerks responsible to? Just the Secretary of State? Or are they accountable to anyone?
To the voters in their counties. The voters in the county are the one that entrust and empower them through the election to do that job. And it's true with every county office. I'm not aware of any top-down powers. There would be some exceptions in the governor's office. But as far as Secretary of State, I would say that his focus will be, and I think this is true with former Secretary of State, let's try to get some uniformity. Let's not all use different programs and have completely different methods of voting, etc. Let's try to have some uniformity so that there can be some standard applied evenly across the state. Now, it doesn't mean we want cookie-cutter, carbon-copy elections, because Wyoming has very unique counties. and very unique people in those counties that like to do things differently. And there, one thing you'll hear from me a lot, I respect the rugged individualism that exists in Wyoming people. I will respect and honor that. Should it have its limitations? Yes, because at some point, you know, your rights only extend as far as your reach is to somebody else's nose. And so then that's where their rights begin. Sir?
Frank, taking what you said about the county clerk being responsible to the voters, if that's correct, I mean, what do we do about someone that's obstinate? Do they not have any authority over them, or can they just remain obstinate?
I think situationally, there can be cases, criminal, civil, where there's violations of law. Beyond that, in your county, see, this would go back to state statutes. Look at Title 22 elections. We don't have recall statutes. How many of you think we could pass a recall statute like Colorado even has? Do you think that's something that legislators would say, all right, if the electors elected candidate X and now it's in the middle of his term and candidate X, they don't longer want that person serving there, can they redo the election and recall? We don't have that in Wyoming. You had your hand up?
No.
Nope.
Said,
okay.
Said you,
agreed.
How many things you could pass that?
Yeah.
Do you
apply
the right pressure?
Possibly. Possibly. I guess the question is, those in office, would they be willing to say, you put me in, you can toss me out if you want?
No, of course not.
Question.
There is no appetite attorneys to prosecute people who are not following. I went to a legislative meeting and one of the legislators asked me after the meeting, well, what'd you think? And I said, well, I think we have a lot of laws that are not enforced.
That's true.
We don't need new laws. We have laws that are not enforced and election integrity laws, there is no appetite to enforce those.
Mm-hmm.
No. That's the truth.
No. I'm always blown away
it's
by this equation.
Some
private organization did a count on how many laws we have on the books nationally. So it started with 10 commandments, now we have 60 million statutes. Is that even feasible? 10 to 60 million. 10 covers them all, 60 million is a little bit overkill.
Win by 35%, you're not interested in any kind of runoff. A lot of our legislators win by about 35%.
That is a fact.
There's no appetite.
Yeah, it's not a majority.
Plus one.
Now, here's what's interesting. Just so you know, when I make comparisons, please don't ever think that I'm saying the Wyoming Republican Party is governmental. It's not. Neither are the county parties. It's private, a nonprofit organization that fits in a very special niche called political organizations. Guess what? We have recall because Robert's Rules says. And we'll follow that. If the body that puts you in power, 2/3 of them say no more, then you just got replaced. You just got recalled. And that projects down to the counties too. 25% of the membership recall a meeting. 2/3 can recall an officer and replace them. Same with the state party. So we have to get it right, or else we can face those consequences. Of course, that means my paycheck would get cut. And what would I do? Zero from zero is never mind.
It's still zero.
I'm a public school graduate, so I just did that math. Yes, ma'am.
I just got the answer for when you went from the ballot to the machines. It was 2,000. This is Dr. Frank said it was 2,000, and then somebody with him said it was about 2008. So in between one of those 3 years.
It's been a while. Mm-hmm.
So you have runoff elections up there. I wanted to see from Ken and from you, is there a rumbling that there's still talking about that, or did we put that maybe in bed?
Well, should we talk about our victory first, and then that will leap right into that one. How many of us know that the crossover bill was passed?
Yes!
That took a tremendous amount of effort, and I think each of you can come to your own conclusion why the resistance for so many years. That bill was proposed in 5 or 6 sessions, I believe, and failed each and every time. The flip side to that is you look at the numbers in Wyoming. Republican Party numbers by registration, we totally dominate. We're a supermajority red state. But outside independent organizations don't rate us as red. They rate us as purple. And Marty Halverson has a complete study done on that as to how that is. It's the voting versus the registration. It's the voting versus the elected officials. And I don't know anybody who wants to try to debunk that, but I think it's factual and it's trackable through many, many years of legislation. So the flip side that I was mentioning before is that most of the Democrats have already crossed over into our party. They've been engaged in our party for quite some time.
Yes, that's true.
They have given up on getting elected as Democrats or identifying as Democrats and decided that they're going to work within our party. And so now it's really down to ideology. And so tonight we can have that talk about, that's why I've taken us back to platform. Some folks like to use other measures, say litmus test and those kind of things. Those are more labels. I think they're less useful. Let's go to what is rock solid, black and white, right before our eyes. That's a platform. The timeless principles. If we can talk on those, we can eliminate a lot of drama, a lot of confusion, and misunderstanding. So that was one victory. Now, runoff elections, back to 35%. That would be a solution for that. I mean,
finally, it's 50 plus one.
Mm-hmm. 50 plus one, exactly.
That's the goal.
The county and state parties have to operate by that. You can't win by a plurality, which is, say, three candidates, they each get 37% each, and you pick the one with the 33%, or the other two that 31%. That's not a majority. That's really not voicing a clear will of the people.
And there's some in, just in this county, that they had more undervotes than voters.
Wow.
In the last
That's a pretty interesting statistic. That sounds like voter protest in some way. Yeah. So I think the runoff has its opposition, such as cost and that. Some of those huge figures you hear, I don't think are real. I know that there are some in this room that know the numbers. I know that some legislators that say, no, this is what it would actually cost. It's really not going to be utilized very often. So it's not going to be every election. Then it would be a big spinning figure. Anything else on election integrity or subcategories? Yes.
Well, one of the things that we found out in this last election is that our voter rolls are sadly out of date. Is there any recourse? I mean, I don't know what the protocol is for that. But just canvassing and working with my husband as a campaign, we realized that our registered voter rolls are not really as accurate as we'd like them to be.
Right. And from what I understand, Wyoming comparatively is more accurate than many, many states.
Really?
Both the previous secretary and Secretary Gray have assured me that when you say not up to date, you mean voters that are still on the rolls that are either inactive, moved out?
Yes.
So it has not been accurately purged.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
That's one of the most aggressive aspects of the Secretary of State's program is purging.
And oh, nice.
Even Chuck, two nights ago, I had a talk with him, and he assured me that that is one of the strongest features of the program. Now, county clerks have some discretion in that, too, as far as to what degree and how often it happens in their county. And I know, Sharon, you've had specific experience with that in your county. And
she says she purges every 2 years. So if you don't vote, you know, if you're only a presidential election person, you're going to get purged come the next time, and you will think you're registered, but you're not. So I think she does okay on that.
One thing, though, that I will tell you that is highly inaccurate, and this is something we're going to make a big change this year, the Republican National Committee, they spend a lot of money collecting data. They're like data miners, like, you know, Google and some of those. And there are contract companies that are registered providers with the RNC, and we've had our choices. We've used two or three different ones over the last couple of cycles. one at a time. And then the state party gets that from the RNC, and then we offer it to the county chairman. They give it to their candidates, and so on and so forth. We found that data to be completely out of date. People not living where they're supposed to, not registered. And it wastes a lot of candidate time and expense, especially doing mailers. So we're going to, this year, go through the Secretary of State solely. We're not going to use any RNC providers. And we're going to hope and trust that our in-state data is probably better than we can get anywhere else. And that includes new movers in, because that is a huge a factor in Wyoming elections now. Okay, you had your hand up, and then I'll go back. Sir?
One of the things we could do if we put enough pressure on it, it's possible to have the post office department verify the addresses that are on the voter registration. And through sending letters, I know that in Sheridan County, that between 20% and 30% of the addresses that are there are incorrect.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and I'll give you a similar example. We know this for sure. In Albany County, we had a Democrat county clerk there, so we have even less influence. And it was interesting because they had a sheriff vacancy, and who did the Democrat Party call? They called this Wyoming Republican Party, say, how do we do this vacancy? We're not sure what statute says. We went down there and helped them. We had actually helped them through a court proceeding on it, because the Albany County Democrat Party sued because they thought it needed to be done a certain way, and we said, no, Title 22 is pretty clear on how you handle vacancies. And then we turn around and we find out that that very cycle, that next election cycle, the county clerk allowed students from all over, we suspect being bused in from Colorado and other parts, supposed to provide proof of address. Show us the gas bill that you live in Laramie, that you live in the dorms. And that wasn't required. So we had probably hundreds of votes, maybe thousands, that were from out-of-state voters, young people that took advantage of the situation. And much of that's documented, much of it's documented by our poll watchers. Yeah. That's why poll watching is super important. We need you for that. Yes?
Hopefully Wyoming doesn't use that fortifying ERIC system.
I believe we're not in ERIC. I can confirm we are not. Yep. Yep. And I was told that specifically from the Secretary of State. Now, on that topic, one thing that is important, back to Dominion and ES&S, I just learned this is really disappointing. This happened without our current Secretary of State's knowledge and without his permission. It should have been solely his jurisdiction to approve. Somebody signed a new contract with ES&S, and there were many folks not happy about that. So just want you to know, he's not happy with that. He did not authorize it. I don't know if we can get out of it, but we can probably assume that we're stuck with them for at least, I don't know, 2 years. I'm not sure what the contract cycle is. So that wasn't intended to rile you up and get you to run down to Cheyenne to the Secretary of State's office and protest. It's just FYI. I think we could do worse, but I think we can do better. Anything else on election integrity? We've been at it for about 40 minutes, so I want to make sure and not keep you all later than you'd like. But I would request, is there a glass or a bottle of water handy somewhere? I didn't think of that.
I've got one.
A stock tank? That's okay. That's okay. That's right. I'll make it.
Thanks,
Who had their hand up? Good. Yes, ma'am. You know, could you stand up and speak just a little? Oh, well, thank you. Are you sure?
No, I got it.
I love bubbly. Well, thank you. You sacrificed your bubbly for me. I'll be glad to share it. Thank you. Couldn't hear your question.
There are election computers went down in Johnson County, like they did in Sheridan County at the very time.
It happened in Sweetwater, too. If I recall, there was a truck hit a major power source down in Sweetwater County and knocked out several counties. At one time, there were people standing in line on election day waiting to vote and weren't able to. And then they had to close the polls at a certain time, and there were still people that hadn't voted. Thank you.
Thanks, Ben.
Got two sources. I appreciate that. All right. Anything else before we move on? Pro-life?
I have a question. Is there any reason you can't prevent Democrats from becoming fake Republicans? Because I think that's how they're controlling the entire state. They're pretending to be Republicans, and people, you know, they might have met him and think, oh, he's a nice guy. People say he's a rhino, but I think he's okay, and they keep voting for him. And that's why they're controlling the legislature.
Well, and here's the Supreme Court has ruled that we have a right to affiliate, right? And so we actually use that to support the crossover bill and say Republicans that are Republicans have a right to affiliate as and register as Republicans. Problem is that's a two-edged sword. So do the Democrats. So we can't stand there at Secretary of State's office, County Clerk's office, say, no, you cannot register as a Republican. But this is where grassroots standards need to come into play. Here's a suggestion. When I was county chairman, this wasn't my idea, but we had a committee man from Glen Rock who said, we need to have a platform pledge, and we still do that in the state party today. So at least there's some tool of accountability saying, candidate X says, I agree to your platform. Now we start, you know, we're trying to make it black and white, we're trying to make it concrete, but there is always going to be an area of subjectivity to it. And that's where the arguments ensue. That's where the disagreements ensue, because there's discretion in there. So in our state bylaws, we decided to go with the Reagan rule probably 5 years ago, and that was you need to be with us 80% of the time. If you don't agree with us 80% fundamentally on timeless principles, then you're probably not on our team. You're probably not a Republican. And I think that's a fair expectation. A lot of times when we offer the platform pledge to candidates and elected officials, they'll scratch out the 80 and they'll put 100. And they're sincere about that. Yes?
Do you outline what the 80% are? Sometimes that 20% is...
That's the subjective part. And I would say it's not in writing. We've discussed, should we go forward and name those? How would we if we did? I think it really comes down to a couple of things that we haven't argued about in the party for quite some time, and that's life and marriage.
Exactly.
Yeah, those are very fundamental to our party. God and the Constitution. You know, if you look at the Democrat platform, that's where they are polar opposites of us. That's a very clear distinction. Yes?
Just so you know how far this can go in a negative direction, Kirsten Sinema in Arizona recently switched from Democrat to Republican. But guess what? She still caucuses with the Democrats. Now, what did that possibly mean?
Independent.
She's not a Republican.
Yeah.
But there she is.
You know, I think that's a tool that is less subjective than somebody claiming certain things or stating certain political ideology, their voting record.
Yes.
And here's the standard in Wyoming, I think we can go by. How many of you know Democrat elected officials in Wyoming? Let's say the legislature. There's, what, eight of them? We know without a doubt they're big government, big spending, big spend, high tax, all those things. So if that's where their political ideology is, and that's where they vote, and that's where they vote, and that's the kind of bills they support, where should our people be?
Yeah.
Probably not in that camp, right? So there is some black and white concrete ways to evaluate that. And there are some very good tools out there. There are some independent folks that tabulate the votes, do the study, and say, okay, bill ABC, this is what this bill is about. It either grows government, shrinks government, or it's neutral, and so they have very non-subjective standards. Here's who voted aye, here's who voted nay. And those are fair tools. Just keep in mind, there's always going to be some subjectivity in there. And I think the rule of thumb needs to be, if we can make 90% of it black and white, and that's only 10% gray, right? We can argue all we want about that 10%, but at least we've got the 90% nailed down. And that's our goal in the party, is to educate and communicate that as clearly as possible, because it's a huge topic, especially when you think about bills. They're supposed to have one topic per bill, right? Well, they don't. They mix other things in, so now they miss the metrics, the measuring tools. Thank you. All kinds of water. I should be well watered.
If you really wanted a beer, I know.
Actually, our host made sure and took care of that earlier today. But yeah, we'd follow up. It'd be all right too. All right, you pick a topic. There's several here. Our time is limited.
Can you explain parity taxes on energy?
Oh, okay.
The
one exception is wind turbines. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yep. Now that took at least 3 years to get there, because when we first came up with oppose all new taxes, wasn't a lot of argument. The debate on how to state it, if there were any lines or exceptions, and then the wind turbine topic just kept growing and growing. And we said, no, we need to make an exception for wind energy.
Why?
Why?
Considering they kill so many birds.
And you get a lot of animals. Right?
And a lot of eagles.
Goes out of the state.
I think the key to it is the level of subsidizing.
Yes.
And so...
But where does the wind energy go? Is it go to Wyoming? Is it go to California?
Yeah.
Well, it's definitely being exported, right?
Mm-hmm.
When it's being used at all. And I say that because I'm fairly aware of the transmission issues and challenges of it. So I just think if the argument to me on wind energy needs to come down to the claim is it's green energy. There's not one single aspect of wind energy that is green. When you're talking about concrete, non-recyclable, dinosaur oil to run the motors, the amount of
this can hold reminding the offshore by kids frequently.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a pleasant path.
Right. We had one in Commerce County catch on fire the other day. Mm-hmm. It's a good thing it wasn't fire season. That's a big risk for us. We can get some very large range fires. We don't need more sources. We get enough from lightning and tourists and bikers starting to come.
The largest drain on the Wyoming grid is idle wind turbines. Okay, when they're not running, they're pulling energy.
There you go.
That's right.
There you go.
Right.
Yeah. Yep.
They weren't subsidized.
Net loss.
Now a guy lives off the grid. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Not, you know, so it just doesn't make sense commercially.
Right. They, so our ranch was approached by a pathfinder, and I had two questions. I said, is it sustainable? We believe in sustainable energy. We use solar panels to pump water for livestock and wildlife. And they would not address that. And I said, now you're putting up these huge structures, concrete, roads, some of this permanent, some of it temporary. Where's the bond and who's going to take it down if the subsidies cease, et cetera, et cetera.
How do you
recycle? Answer there. I said, we don't need to waste any more time on this conversation.
How do you recycle? You know, solar only lasts maybe 10, 25, 30 years. How do you recycle this?
Now, solar, I don't know about recycling. The ones that we get are 1% loss a year. So they, yeah, but as far as wind turbines, I don't think there's anything, any part of that that's recycling. Laura, you got your hand up.
Oh, well, somebody stole my thunder, but... just the oil alone that it takes to maintenance those turbines, thousands of gallons of a year, has to be changed out oftentimes twice a year to the tune of $2,000 a barrel. So it costs about $200,000 something a year just to maintain them. And they're as you said, they're net zero.
Carbon based. There's nothing about those that are not carbon based.
There's another.
And the
But
the choke cherry wind farm they're putting outside of Casper, is 215,000 acres of turbines they're putting outside of Castle, ultimately. 215,000 acres.
Change the landscape, change the view shed.
Change the rainfall, it changes the drought numbers, it changes everything.
You in the back. Yes, sir.
If I was a landowner, one of the big things about solar power I'd be really upset with is all the extra power lines they got put in. And I just read something the other day, they do not protect it by eminent domain. They come in and just take it. Mm-hmm. And give you a penny on the dollar for your land, or easement, or whatever.
Yep, yep. As powerful as the railroad or any of those others that use in that domain. Mm-hmm. That's correct. I just noticed your T-shirt. It took me a second to do the equation. That's pretty cool. Do you want to? You mind standing up? I hate to put you on the spot, but that's. I think that's a true equation there. Ken?
We ran a bill, I think it was Alan Clayton, ran a bill to stop eminent domain to be able to run these power lines that he was just talking about. It did pass the House, it did pass the Senate, and your friendly local governor vetoed it.
Yep.
Mm.
Yep.
Of course he did.
Yep.
And do not assume that your local state representative voted correctly. Mine voted no. So please look at their voting record.
Yeah. I'm not
look back and see. He's not my rep. I'm trying to get him moved. But when you look back at this individual's donors, there's some wind there. So just do a little checking on your rep.
Well, in general, let's address an action point. We've got several issues. How do we fix them? What's secure? What's the solution? First, how did we lose our freedoms? How did states and nation turn blue? How did we get presidents like Obama, et cetera, Biden? How did all that happen? Did it happen in one great big touchdown Hail Mary?
No.
It happened incrementally. So how do we get back? How do we turn this Titanic around without capsizing it, hitting an iceberg?
Yeah, our education system.
Yep, that's a big one right there.
That's our biggest one. And then our media.
And so specifically, what's one tool we can use to communicate to our representatives? I mean, we send them this list. State Central Committee passes resolutions. That's a statement of political will with an expectation and an action point. You know in your county, whether you're a precinct member or not, get an elected precinct person to sponsor a resolution saying, to your point.
The key is educating people. Because I was going door to door when I was a county commissioner and precincts. You'd be amazed how many people didn't even know what a precinct was.
Right.
Okay.
So we need to do a better job as county parties and state party. And if you look at our numbers on social media and other forms of outreach, we're doing a written newsletter now, because there's a lot of folks from Wyoming don't have computers, don't use the internet, and they've been begging us for quite some time to do a written newsletter. Those are the same people that we mail fundraising letters to, and they send us checks. So we need to inform and educate them, make sure they understand they're a very important part of our party and our process and the outcomes. Yes?
Do you know the status of charter schools in Wyoming?
The status.
Yeah, I mean, we have some, or
how many? Yeah, I knew Ken would know. Ken, you got all the statistics?
We just cleared the way for, I think, 5 of them underway, one's in Casper.
Okay.
Both of them are affiliated with
Hillsdale. That's great.
Yeah.
That's sweet.
That's a good thing, but I want to caution you. Charter schools are still public schools.
They are.
Our public schools have a little different rules, and so there are some good things about that. But I keep watching all the time. What's the greatest threat to Wyoming? It's voter apathy.
Yep, absolutely.
That's the biggest threat.
That's how we got
here. And I'm not talking to the people in this room, because right. You people are active and you know what's going on. But somehow we have to begin to affect our sphere of influence. We have to begin to wake people up. Did you know? I got a note today from Fremont County, a little note there saying, apparently from the county, saying we're not going to allow you to re-register your vehicle this next session unless you catch the taxes up.
Unless you what?
Unless you catch up your property tax.
Yeah, you use the term delinquent taxes.
Yeah.
Linked it to vehicle registration.
Yep.
You're going to refuse to renew if you're not cut up on the delinquent taxes. That's it. That might be an interesting legal question. I think. I don't know if they have the power to do that.
Stay diligent.
But Ken is right. In the state party over the last several years, we've been able to assess and measure that we've got a fair amount of apathy, and I'm going to use the word ignorance, and that doesn't apply to any of you here. But there are solutions to it. How many of you are aware of just your neighbors to the south? A group of concerned citizens just got together, just like here, but they formalized Liberty Space for Me. Mm-hmm. And they hold town halls every month. They get guest speakers in. Harriet Hagman's been one. Some of us have been there and spoken. And there's three or four conservative activist groups also in Natrona County. They're starting to turn the tide. And get us back to small government, a form of governance.
Well, Frank, let me ask Ken, because he's from Sheridan County. The rest of us are down here. And as you know from our previous discussion, I think there is a lack of will among the Johnson GOP to do anything currently. So, Ken, what do you know what's going on in Sheridan County right now? During this election cycle.
I don't know, I'm here.
Thanks, buddy.
Thanks, meeting anybody.
How often does the Sheridan GOP meet?
Carla could answer that better than I could. Because
how often does the Sheridan GOP meet? We haven't met since March.
The Sheridan
GOP?
Yeah.
Once a month? What?
Not once a month, no.
Okay.
Probably 6 weeks to 2 months. We were trying to get a better schedule, but we don't really have that right now. And it kind of depends on if there's an issue that comes up. Republican Women meet just about every month, but not in the summer. We did our meeting yesterday. And probably what we do in Republican Women in Sheridan County, and Jan is part of that, we have a legislative action committee, and we follow all the session bills, and we decide, we pick our categories, and our group, our entire club votes on that once a year, and those are the ones, then we look at those bills and decide if we're pro or con on them, and we let our legislators know, and not
yes,
just harm them. Now, Ken, nice.
Great, I'm for an email today.
Yes!
State who also sends out emails to, because we're finding, and Ken can probably agree with this, that legislators don't want to hear from Sheridan County if they live in Albany County. Even they're just like, enough, so on. So that's why we try to now situate somebody in every county to let them know.
Mention the Patriot Chats.
And we also created the Patriot Chats so that, again, the kind of maybe 4 to 6 times a year, but we call them together, and we oftentimes have a speaker. We've had Harriet there, we've had, or else we'll just say, okay, the topic is the legislative session, and, you know, come and talk to us about election integrity or whatever the bills are hot, you know, and we'll have a minimum of 60 people, up to 100 and some show up, you know, virtually every time I have it. So it's another good way to, and we've had people come who are not involved in the precinct committee positions or Republican Women, you know, so it's people that read about it and is like, I'm going to show up and see what they're saying. I think Ronnie, I got him involved kind of that way. So it's a good way to interact with different people and you know, when I send it out, it's like, tell your neighbors and your friends. You know, and maybe
Our last central committee meeting was March 11th. So I don't, they're not getting a whole lot of grossness.
Well, that was probably focused on elections. You know, to do officer elections, which is statutory.
Right.
And essential for the organization function.
Right.
So I will throw this out as far as meeting frequency. You don't want to have a meeting just to have a meeting. People are busy. Most of us run our businesses. We have two jobs.
We did have a state committee, though, meeting. I have no idea what happened.
You did host one. And that, you know, and so that happens quarterly in whatever county wins the bid. Carla's on the site selection committee, so she's experienced with that. But the criteria there, but basically any counties that are interested, and their motivation is, well, we can have a fundraiser on Friday night just for the county party, and then the state party comes in runs a meeting Saturday. Quarterly, I think, is a good balance. If you look at the Democrats, we were just talking about this earlier today, they're busy all the time.
Yes.
Whether they formally meet every month or not, they're active doing something,
right.
I would say, against our interests. Constantly.
You think?
Constantly. And so, to not hold meetings, and I know there's been a county or two that said, well, we don't need to hold meetings. I'm going to make all the decisions. I don't know exactly what the situation is, but that goes against the grassroots voice. If you're not listening to the people, how could you decide in their best interests? I think that's a pretty clear question. But quarterly, we think it's a good balance between too many and not enough. And then really where the work gets done, just like the legislature, is in the committees and subcommittees. Those are active all the time. We have state subcommittee meetings that are going on 3 to 4 times a week. Not each one, but as they rotate through. Yes.
I'd like to comment on that and interrupt right now, because if you're upset about your property taxes and like to talk to your legislators who are making decisions about your property taxes, on June the 26th and 27th at Sheridan College, the Revenue Committee is meeting at 8:30 in the morning.
Yep.
Be there if you would like to have your face in front of your legislature and speak your mind. And even if you're uncomfortable with speaking or being on the Zoom meeting or anything like that, a warm body in the seat gets their attention more than anything else. And there's plenty of people that will be speaking for you at that meeting. So if you need any further information about that, get a hold of myself or Carla or Hope or someone, and we'll be more than happy to give you some more details. Or you can go on wildleg.gov. I was getting it wrong. And you can get the details on when, where, and how, and the agenda, and all of it. So I would highly encourage, if you can possibly be there, to show up or sign in on the Zoom meeting. So 26th and the 27th, is Monday and Tuesday, in a week and a half.
Well, we also requested the commissioners on
Now, I will say one thing from experience, gone to many revenue subcommittee hearings, and one thing be prepared to hear if you show up and say, you know, this tax is not necessary, this tax is not justified. If you show up with that point of view and express that, you may hear it anyways, is that it's our job, we are tasked with finding sources of revenue. Am I wrong, Kim?
No.
Okay, so that, and there's some truth to that, but look at the state's budget, you know, look at the spending. Is it necessary, or maybe that committee could take it year off?
Forgive me for speaking again. I want to blame Carla Coffenstein for getting me involved in this, but now I'm aware of what needs to happen. However, it seems that the good people that I know were already in a GOP office, so therefore their hands are tied. Those are the movers and shakers. Well, we see what needs to happen, but I can't work on that because I'm in this position or something. No, thank you guys for occupying those positions. But we need, when I look at my precinct, changes need to happen. How do we find somebody that can take someone's place? Because this individual is not going to cut the mustard. this individual is voting, has a 20% record on evidence-based violence. That's disgraceful. Now, how do I find somebody that can take their place in this county? Then I look at Crook County and I see what's going on over there. I look at all county. I said, we need somebody like bulls in a shoe. Somebody needs to take somebody's place when somebody goes out too much. So how do we identify those people, Frank? And then what can we do?
Probably the most frequently asked question at any of these type of forums across the state, because we understand that we are a citizen legislature, right? So it shouldn't be anything about royalty, that it's who has convinced the voters and earned their trust to go.
I can't be the only one in Sheridan County, and I'm willing to work really hard to get someone in, but I don't know who.
So John's answer is the key answer to that key question, but there's more. If you, for whatever reason, say I can never be qualified, never interested, never willing, okay, that's fine. There are numerous grassroots organizations and individuals that have been recruiting. They've been doing this at coffee shops, bars, restaurants, churches. And you start to see a culmination. What the state party does is we reach out to those leaders in those communities and we combine our efforts so that we're neither duplicating nor leaving balls dropped. We're trying to keep them all in the air. And it's working. Have you seen what's been happening in the legislature? Have you seen that number, that percentage change towards platform-based Republicans, platform-committed Republicans? It's on the increase. Mm-hmm. That wouldn't happen without individuals, without committed county parties, without independent groups saying that, we've got to get back to our founders' principles.
And quit voting for the ones that you just know the name.
Right, right, yep, yep.
Well, they're just been there for a long time.
So if you know something you want to share, start with your neighborhood, start with those organizations, start with your county party, and whether you get somewhere going through those venues or not, come to the state party. We have committees for that, and we have connections all over the state. Glad to help you with that.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Carla. I did have a lady who couldn't make it tonight. She was sorry about that, but she wanted to see if you would address anything on parental rights and on mental health issues.
Okay, and those are pretty big topics there.
I couldn't really decide which category we could throw that into.
Right, yeah. those are pretty big, and I'm trying to think of, I think what the state party has boiled it down to is probably in the form of resolutions. And since I'm a jack of all trades and master of absolutely nothing, I would not have those documents in front of me. Anybody done any committee work, a state convention, county conventions on those topics?
Well, she actually took, because in Sheridan County we did pass Marty Helgerson, the parental rights resolution. And so she took this to her, she changed it up a little bit and took it to her school board.
Mm-hmm.
They more or less just said.
Right. So there's other avenues.
She's a lawyer.
Gotcha. Yeah, I really don't know how to intelligently speak to that other than one of our platform planks does speak about parental rights and that parents should be in command of their children's decisions, not school officials or any other folks. Laura?
I've been told by multiple people that
resolutions are kind of pointless because they don't get in front of the legislatures and they don't act upon them and all that. It's kind of a futile effort. Can you tell us how to make it more impactful with a resolution? How do we make them pay attention to those?
So by Robert's Rules, a resolution expresses a problem and it starts, whereas, factual statement, whereas, factual statement. And then it says, be it resolved. That's where you need to get down to the nuts and bolts. That's where you need to be very clear on what the expectations are. One, not just a lower taxes bill passed. Got to be specific.
I meant more of the physical aspect of getting in front of them and, I mean, making sure they see it and act upon it and take it into consideration.
One tool that is particularly useful that now I have committees and people that work it, and I am involved in the process and see the result, but social media is hugely powerful in that. I mean, the in-person meetings, yes, but one of our biggest challenges is accountability, right? We voice an expectation, and we cannot get that person to comply with that. And so What we hear, and this is true too, the pushback is, well, you need to solve it at the ballot box. Mm-hmm. And so we've already covered that too, and ultimately that's true. There's only so much we can do during that person's term without recall. Yes, Karen? Yes.
Right. Would you talk to me? I want to hear what you have to say about that bottom bullet about audit of wellness relationship with the federal government before.
Okay, I'm glad you brought that up, Marilyn. Former state committee woman for Johnson County. Mm-hmm. It's been a couple years, huh, since you served in that role. I will address that. Let me, as we're going down the list, let me address this one real quickly without getting personal, without getting dramatic. There's an easy way to... There's a reason it's worded that way. We're not anti any group. We're not anti any people. You have your personal rights. Let's just not make your personal preferences and rights government policy, right? And especially taxpayer funded. And so we've seen a lot of non-discrimination bills come up, and we think the clearest way to address those is just say, this bill clearly creates a special classification of people. And it gives that classification more rights than others. We're not for that. We're for an equal playing field for everybody, despite creed, religion, sexual orientation, every classification under the sun. Equal, equal, equal. We are the equality state. Let's use that in a meaningful way, in a positive way. So that's why that's in there, because those non-discrimination bills keep coming up, and usually it'll be like towards housing or employment or one of those subcategories, and it's a foot in the door to try to change across the board rights. We see that. We've seen it happen in other states, and so Wyoming is not immune to that. Any questions on that?
No.
Okay. Audit of Wyoming's relationship with the federal government. We have a committee. It's pretty large. There are some very knowledgeable people that know the Constitution. They understand a lot of the governing documents that have been in force since this nation was formed. And they believe in republic review. I've read it. It's in the Constitution. It is basically the states, since we are members of the Union, and we don't believe in top-down either. Each member of the Union should have equal footing, equal footing doctrine. Heard of that in the Constitution? And therefore, if we believe that Washington, D.C. is doing something that is not appropriate in any of the states or unequally in various states, that's just one example. It can apply to any power administered by the federal government that is outside of the enumerated powers of the Constitution. And Republic Review is a committee that says we need to have a bill that highlights this part of the Constitution that says, for example, federal government does a top-down mandate, Wyoming, you name it. Let's say they name the mosquito as an endangered species. And How should Wyoming respond? Well, you know, that puts our governor, sheriffs, and commissioners in a particular predicament, but they have the power to act on that. Another tool is to say, the legislature can say, this is not in accordance with your powers, according to the Constitution, doesn't apply here. Or we'll do an audit and we'll grade to say exactly, state where you're out of conformance with the United States and the Wyoming Constitutions. So, it's one of those less known powers. Ken, you worked on that bill. Do you want to speak to it?
The last several years, Bob worked, ran a bill, worked with Marty Halverson and the people around the state, very knowledgeable on how this should work. I ran what was this year House Bill 212, which is exactly what we're talking about here. Cowboy State Daily, not Cowboy State Hall. Cowboy State Daily gave me an award of having the absolute stupidest bill of these.
Good for you.
One of my biggest opponents in the legislature, and I wish he was here, Barry Craigle. He voted for it in committee, basically with a grin on his face. I just want to see what happens when we put this out there. We put it out there on the floor, and it was hammered 35-27. 36-26. There are 26 of us there that would agree with everything you've done there and do anything we possibly could, and we are doing that. We're running the bills. But you might as well beat your head into the wall until we put about 10 more seats.
So, Ken, is this somewhere where North Dakota has?
I don't know.
North Dakota basically says that it's not important to their constitution. Any federal ruling or mandate is unconstitutional.
I know there are several states that are doing that, but what I'm saying is, in the Wyoming legislature right now, there is no guarantee who will to accomplish this. The first thing they'll do is talk to you about the supremacy clause and all other smoke screens and stuff.
This is a good one from outside of my own.
I'm not saying why, I'm just saying what is.
Yeah.
And what I'm saying is, Betty, I agree with everything you're talking about, and we need to keep the pressure on all the legislators to do that, but you have to know how your representation votes.
Right.
And you have to flip whatever it takes. You have to flip those seats.
SCOTUS has ruled on this very topic, not specifically Republic Review, but laws that are passed contrary to the Constitution. How many know that U.S. Supreme Court case? My memory might be off, Marbury versus Madison. Any law enacted by Congress that is contrary to the Constitution is automatically null and void. We've used that, right? So, the Supreme Court cases come in handy when they come in handy and when they don't. Okay, somebody had their hand up before Marilyn. Yes.
So, along the same lines of our relationship with the federal government, we have, as a state, we've always, as I said, rugged individualists and follow the Constitution as best we can. So, in our Constitution, in Article 5, there's a provision for amending the Constitution, whereas Congress or we the people. And that's state legislature, so that's exactly what you're talking about. So, we actually passed the Senate in this legislative session to call what is called a convention of states. And it's simply calling a convention of states. You have to have two-thirds of the states have to approve calling a convention, and it's simply to discuss the problems with the federal government.
If they ignore the current constitution, what makes you think they'll ignore
that? The question is, we, the people, are very frustrated with what's going on with the federal government. I've heard a lot of frustration in this room today at the state level. We have to have a way that we can call the states together and discuss what the problems might be. So this is this convention of states actually passed the Senate, this legislative session. We went down in defeat again at the House level. But my question to you, sir, is at the committee level, at the central committee level, do we have a plank about convention? convention of states and what our stance should be?
Well, we don't have a plank, but we have a resolution. So planks are timeless principles.
Okay.
The resolutions are how we apply those principles.
Okay.
And Marilyn, I'll get to your questions. I want to make sure we get full circle on this. But it was one of those debated, like this room's probably split. Everywhere I've been, there's almost equal number of people on each side of it that are equally passionate and informed and want to see some action done. So I would say Convention of States is clearly in the Constitution. It's clearly a legitimate process. I think the opponents of it say we must have statesmen making those decisions and voting on them, or we will have another runaway convention. And I'm not making the arguments. I'm just telling you what I'm hearing.
Okay.
And so I